Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Omega Ministries Group Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, servant Jason Felix, and tonight we're going to explore some of the mysteries of God. And we got a guest host this evening, Minister Yarnell Waller, and he'll come in a little later after the break. But right now, I just want to welcome everybody. I want to send a special shout out right now to my dad, Dr. Jesse Storm, my stepmom, the minister, Tammy Storr, for allowing me this opportunity to join the team along with everything else that comes with this. So with that being said, I'd like to welcome everyone on tonight. So as we jump in tonight is a very special night. Tonight we're going to talk about the millennial. We're going to talk about the young people, the young adults, the future of this generation and how they hold their relationship with our Heavenly Father. So before we go any further, you know I want to hit you with some scripture, and I want to say a quick prayer. So if you will, I'll be coming from the New Standard Version, and it's in Matthew chapter 18, verses, 1 through 5, and then skipping over to 10 through 14, I want to give it to you. It says it just like this, for it is written, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child whom he put among them and said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." In verse 10, it says, "Take care that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you, in heaven, their angels continually see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep, and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of the Father in heaven that one of the little ones should be lost." Yes, I just gave it to you right now. I'm just thanking everybody on tonight, because we're going to talk about that this evening. And before we go any further, we're going to say a prayer. So, Father in heaven, right now, I'd just like to let you know, Father, that we are humbled in your sight. So we ask for the gift of more and more conviction of our sins and the manifestation of your holiness. For without it, we will never see you. In the book of Revelations, we speak of difficult times that are coming in the end days and require great endurance and perseverance on the part of the remnant who do your commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. So as humble children and members of your body, we too will suffer persecution for doing your will. Please give us the courage and patient endurance we need. We also ask that you will strengthen and fortify our faith to endure victoriously to the end. Ah, yes, Father, we just want to thank you right now. Thank you for your magnifying truth. Yes, for the gift of conviction that it brings, for which include us to come boldly and humbly to your throne of grace. You see, there we receive mercy, forgiveness, and the cleansing of our sins, that we're removed as far as the east is from the west and will no longer be remembered. And we pray to become more and more set on dying to our flesh, Father, and working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And we want to be put into action the very things that your spirit is teaching us as you grow us to bear the identity and image of your Son, our beloved Lamb, Jesus Christ. So, Father God, we pray that by your spirit we will die to our carnal nature so that you can speak through us to others. Forgive us, Lord, for the wrong ways we have used our mouths. Your word tells us that we will overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and by not loving our lives so much as to shrink back from death. So help us by your spirit to fearlessly speak your words and not to be a crowd or shrink back, for we want to uphold the precious blood of our Lamb right now and overcome the flesh, the world, and all of our enemy strategies. Yes, Father in heaven, for you are the one who produces the good seeds of truth, and you are the one who plants them that they might grow and produce the righteous harvest for your glory. So we praise you right now. We thank you that your Son, our Savior, has planted good seeds in our hearts. We ask you, Father, right now to forgive us for cultivating seeds that were not sown by you, but by the evil one. We ask right now that you would give the child right now great discernment to recognize their deceptive strategies and evil seeds that they have cultivated more than your righteous seeds of truth. Please give them right now wisdom to be the wise caretaker of the harvest field of their life and to quickly repent and uproot the seeds that were sown by the enemy. Forgive them right now for the times that they have cultivated the flesh and the seeds of selfish desires and self-indulgence. You see, they are beginning to recognize all that comes from their self-natures, and it can no longer be justified because they see it truly by, and it is a product of Satan's work, and they do not want to have anything to do with deeds of darkness. So we just want to thank you right now for exposing them to us and to them that they might live in a manner worthy of you, oh Lord, holy Lord and Savior. So please help them right now, Father, to bear that harvest that is not skimpy but bountiful, produce so much righteous fruit that others will recognize that you are living through them. And please forgive them and help them to die daily to their selfish ambitions and worldly inclinations. We just want to thank you in advance for making it clear that being a friend to the world, which seems so natural, makes them your enemy. Now they can understand that all the things of the flesh are Satan's realms and that you delivered them out here to live in a realm of your Holy Spirit. So humble them before you, Lord, for we understand that their sins have brought curses upon them and their families. So, oh my God, right now, have mercy on all of us, for we are sinners. Yeah, that young child has lived too much, too long in a way that seemed right to them, according to their fleshly desires. So forgive them right now for being double-minded, confessing you with their mouths while their hearts and their affections were far away from you. Focus on what which is not of your spirit that has eternal value. So they know that you can see you alone, that you deserve the focus of their heart and the affection because they are not their own, Father. They recognize that. We understand that Jesus paid the ultimate price to purchase them to bear holy fruit for your praise, honor, and glory. And we know that they are wretched sinners and so unworthy of your blessing. So praise be to you, our Father and our God. You have given us renewed hope and joy because of the merciful sacrifice of your blood to lovingly forgive and cleanse of our repentant sins. Again, we ask you right now to forgive that lost soul, forgive that youngin' right now for gravitating to the seducing enticements of this world, which are a worthless investment of their time, energy, money, and their life. Heavenly Father, right now we want to be busy about your kingdom business, seeking your will and your good pleasure. Thank you for redeeming us and giving us wisdom to choose life and blessings in the spirit and preparing us to be ready for waiting for you and your kingdom. We just want to thank you right now, Heavenly Savior, for giving your life to redeem all of us. And may we uphold your precious blood and never ever trample it again by going back to the world and its evil and eternally harmful temptations. May that lost soul, that young, and rededicate their lives to you as a living sacrifice, made holy and acceptable through your blood and cleansing away their sins. So we pray for your Holy Spirit right now to help them glorify you by righteous obedience in and through their words and their actions. So we praise and worship you, Heavenly Father, for your amazing grace to forgive their sins and to come into their hearts and make them a new holy spiritual creation that's just for your kingdom and for your honor. Hallelujah. They are on their way to the promised land, never looking back to the world and all of its trinkets, junk and rotten fruit. And may they be counted as the one who was sold out, exchanging everything as fast as they can for more and more of you and the riches of your eternal kingdom and glory. It's in the Master's mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, I just wanted to get that on out the way before we get started. And as we had our theme for tonight, it was, you know, with the great scripture that lets us know. For the word says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I come to you because during this opportunity to have this great, exciting young man of God on the show tonight, I had to do a little research. And I found five stories of young people in the Bible who did great things for the Lord and are a wonderful example for us today. First, it was David and Goliath. Now, maybe this may be one of the best known stories in the Bible because it is a story of David and Goliath now, right? See, when this story took place, it took place in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and it was when David was probably, I think, only 17 years old. And in this chapter, we see David as an obedient son. Actually, the scripture, I think, is 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 17 through 20. And for that, and then they show him as a brave soldier, which will be verses 26 and verse 32. And then above all, a young man who was fully trusted God. That's verses 37 and 45 to 47. You see, David was told by his father to take provisions to his brothers who were fighting in the Israelite army against the Philistines. Now, when David arrived, he heard the champion of the Philistines, the giant Goliath, blaspheming the name of the God of Israel. But David could not stand that someone would speak evil of the Lord. So he was surprised that the army of Israel was not doing something about the wicked threats that was going against them. So he's thinking, hey, what's going on? I know y'all ain't just letting this happen. You see, David presented himself before King Saul as someone who would go fight Goliath one-on-one. You know how it be. I don't need no team. Come on, let's get it popping. But here's the thing. David could not use the king's armor that was offered to him because it was something he was not accustomed to using. Now, since David had battled lions and bears using only his bare hands and a sling, he figured, hey, he could do the same thing with Goliath. Now, here's what he did. David chose five smooth stones from the riverbed, and he rushed to fight Goliath. Now, with a single stone, he was able to knock the giant to the ground. Then David took Goliath's own sword and killed him by cutting off his head. The scripture reads like this. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took hence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistine saw their champion was dead, they fled. You see, David was a young man who trusted God to do great things. Therefore David is known as a young man who did great things for God. Then there was Joseph and Potiphar's wife. I know you got to remember that story in the Bible. See, Joseph had been sold by his brothers into slavery in Genesis 37. And by the end of the chapter, Joseph was serving in the house of Potiphar, a government official and military commander. You see, Joseph had served in the house of Potiphar and apparently had been greatly treated by his master. And Joseph said that he had been given stewardship over everything in the house except Potiphar's wife. But let me tell you about this. This is one of Isaac's favorite sons because it was the son after the woman in which he loved, Rachel. So when he had Joseph and he was a certain age, he had made Joseph this coat for his birthday. It was a coat of colors because it was real colorful. So it kind of made his other siblings a little jealous. So while they were out one day, Isaac says, go and see how they faring. So he goes to check on them and they like, here comes that dreamer, because before that he had told them a dream of how they were going to serve him, how he was going to save the land. So they thought he was crazy and they didn't like him. So what happened was when he came to see him, they wanted to kill him. But the older brother Reuben said, hold up, wait a minute, we can't do that. This is, you know, this dad's favorite kid. We going to kill our daddy. So instead, they sell him. But they sell him to their own cousin, these Ishmaelites that was coming by on their way to Egypt. And but through that time, God kept giving them favor. And now he's the man standing next to the man. But now the man standing next to the man's wife wants to touch him. So when Potiphar's wife flirted with Joseph, he wisely rebuffed her advances. Though he did it, and he did what was right and wise, he was still falsely accused of acting inappropriately with her, and the result was that he was thrown in prison. You find that in Genesis chapter 29, verses 11 through 20. And Genesis 39, 20 to 23, read, it says, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it prosper. You see, the story of Joseph is a good example that just because we do what is right, it does not mean that immediately we'll be praised for it. You have to recognize that. However, in the end, he was honored by God and justified in the sight of men for taking a stand to do right, even when it was not easy nor pleasurable. Then there's the story of the little maid of Israel. I know y'all know this story. There was a wonderful story in 2 Kings chapter 5 about Naaman being healed of leprosy by God. Now, one of the minor characters in the story is a little slave girl of whom we know almost nothing about. However, the one thing we know about her is that she was concerned for the people around her that they would know the power of God. Now, I have often thought of her as an Old Testament missionary. Let me tell you why. She was in a land that was not her home. She was actually there against her will, yet still loved the people God had placed around her and was willing to share what she knew about the Lord with them. When she learned that her master Naaman had leprosy, she willingly told him about God's prophet Elijah and how that God worked through this man. Now, Naaman went to Elijah because he trusted that this little maid had said, but Naaman, the captain of the army of Syria, trusted the words of this young lady. It was 2 Kings, verse 1 and 3, which says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." You see, Naaman went to see Elijah and was healed of his leprosy. We know nothing about this young lady, but we know enough to surmise that she loved the Lord and the people God called her to serve. She was also a trustworthy and honest servant. Then there is Daniel and his friends. Oh, I know y'all know this. This is another beloved story in the Bible, in the book of Daniel. Now, many people, they know about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were put in the fiery furnace. You see, even more will remember the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Now, did you know that Daniel was somewhere around 80 years old when that took place? Did you? We don't know precisely when Nebuchadnezzar built the statue that he wanted people to worship, but it was sometime between 3rd and the 23rd year of the Babylonian captivity. It is believed that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into the fiery furnace when they were about 10 and 30 years old. They certainly weren't many years younger than Daniel when he faced the lions. However, there is another interesting story that about these four young men in Daniel chapter 1. You see, they may have only been about 8 years old when they stood up for what they believed, and they were offered food and drink that were against their traditional Jewish beliefs. They had already gained favor with their captors and requested that their diet be changed to something more familiar. They stood up for their beliefs even as very young men. Now, the result of their decision to honor the Lord with their eating habits was that God gave them knowledge and skill in learning and wisdom. It's Daniel 1, verse 17. This verse also says that Daniel was given an ability to understand dreams and visions, which is basically what the rest of the book is about. Then there's the young lad with his lunch. This is one of the most beautiful stories ever. In the New Testament, there is a story of a young boy who responded to a call to do something for the Savior. Christ was surrounded by a multitude of 5,000 men, with no mention of how many women and children there might have been. You find it in John chapter 6. You see, Jesus looked to his disciples for a solution to the problem that the multitude was hungry and that it was late in the day. Now, of course, Christ had already knew what he was planning to do. John 6 and 6, check it out. You see, Jesus asked Philip where they could get enough bread to feed the crowd. And Philip didn't know, but doubted that it could even be done with the limited resources they had. Then Andrew sought for a solution. He found a young man with a meal of 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 small fish. Now, the boy could have refused to give up his lunch. He could have chosen to run away when a disciple approached him and asked him if he would sacrifice his meal for Jesus. Neither Andrew nor the boy knew what Christ would do, but this boy allowed the Lord to use his little gift. He trusted Christ. He just trusted him with his possessions, even though he did not know what the outcome would be. Talking about faith. Now, Jesus took the food and gave thanks to God for it. He distributed the food to the disciples, who took each piece they were given and started handing it out to the people around them. And surprisingly, there was plenty of food to go around. When everyone had finished eating, the disciples gathered up the food fragments and brought them back to Jesus. And in the end, they gathered 12 baskets full of food. John 6:10-13 reads, "And Jesus said, 'Make the men sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, 'Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost.' Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over above until them that had eaten." See, like this little boy, we should be willing to hand over to the Lord anything that he requests from us. We may not know what we will do with it, but if we would just trust him with our possessions and our lives, then he will do something wonderful like he did with this little lunch. Now, regardless of your age, you are able to place your life in the hands of God and allow him to work. You see, God is doing and will do a great work in this world. You see, he chooses to use people of all ages to accomplish his purpose. How wonderful it is to be able to allow him to use us to accomplish the great things for him. I'm just so in awe of my God, and I just thank him today and as I thank him every day. And as we go through this time right now, I want to have the opportunity to take a little break, because when we come back, we're going to come back with this great man of God, and he's going to bring us that good thing about why he's so in love with God at this tender young age. So before we go, going to get you something to drink. I want you to sit back and get ready, because we're going to have some fun in the Lord when we come back in just a few seconds.
Come on, put your hands together. Come on, put them together like this.
I want it all back. I want it all back. Everything that he stole from me. Yes, yes, I do. I want it all back. And as I'm so glad that you welcome back to the Omega Blog Talk Radio Show. And as I introduce this young man of God tonight, yes, I'd like to say first, this is my nephew. Let me give you a quick bio on this young man of God. Yarnell, Minister Yarnell Waller, right? He was born in Detroit, Michigan, and he is the only child. Hey, Sister Erica, you see, as a young child, as a baby, he was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, better known as CP, but he does not let that define him. He started singing at a young age and opened up for Kirk Franklin back in 2007. He was baptized by Pastor John H. Jordan and let them come Missionary Baptist Church. Hey, Granddaddy, you see, Yarnell later joined Greater New Southern Missionary Baptist Church under Pastor Johnson, where he became a deacon. It is at New Southern where Yarnell accepted his calling at the young age of 20. He gave his first trial sermon in 2016 and was licensed. Returning to Let Them Come, Reverend Waller now serves as associate minister under the pastor Cornell Sampson Jr. Yarnell took on the role of praise team leader. Now, here's his education, my people. Reverend Waller went to the Detroit Public Schools, and Reverend Waller is a graduate of Grosse Pointe North High School, and he is currently a member of Grosse Pointe Community Campus Program. Now, with his community service, he passionately volunteers his time at Trumbly Elementary School, aiding in classroom for students with autism twice a week. He speaks and prays with patients at Beaumont Hospitals twice a week, while on the other days, you can find him helping at Full Circle Upscale Resale on Mack Avenue in Detroit. In the summer, he can be found at the Community Campus Garden in Detroit, Michigan, or working at the Grosse Pointe Shores Park. Now, the additional things about Reverend Waller is at the beginning of his career, but don't let that fool you. Yeah, he's at the beginning, but he's going a long way. He's destined for greatness. He has a rich relationship with God, and his wisdom and strength comes through when he goes in doing his sermons. Oh, man, he be going in. And he has appeared multiple times on the Mildred Gaddis Show and appeared in several commercials. He has done an interview with the evangelist Dorian Pace and has been in multiple concerts and appeared at Comerica Park. Now, Yarnell, help put together an anti-bullying program, and he has many other projects in the works for this upcoming year, including musical recordings, public appearances, great preaching, and motivational speaking. So without any further ado, I want you to put your hands together and give a good warm welcome for Minister Yarnell. Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord. It is a blessing. And it is an honor and it is a privilege to be with you all on tonight. I am just fired up. I'm enjoying that song. Dorinda Clark Cole said, I want it all back. And I don't know about nobody else, but I am excited. I'm getting back everything in my life that the devil tried to steal from me. And that ought to be somebody else's testimony that is listening on tonight. You ought to want to get everything back that the enemy has tried to take from you out of your life. Matter of fact, I got something better for you. You ought to not even want it back, because I guarantee you he's going to give you something else better. So anything that you lost, consider it as a double, because he's going to double it up for you. I wish I had somebody at church on the night to talk back to me. I know that the Lord will make a way out of no way, and I'm just so excited, and I'm ready to give God praise on the night. I may be young. I may be only 25 years old, but oh yes, I know how to give God praise. I know how to lift him up, and he's worthy of all the praise. He is worthy of all the honor. I know we've been going through a lot. I know we've been facing a lot, but God is still worthy of the praise. And I don't know about nobody else, but I don't have to be in a sanctuary to praise God. I know we on the air on tonight, and I know this is a radio show, but we ought to take time out right now to give him praise for what he has done in our life. He is such a good God. He is such an amazing God, and he is worthy of all the praise. And we lift him up on tonight. We adore him on tonight. We worship him on tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. He is worthy of all the praise. Minister Jason, I want to thank you on tonight for this opportunity, man of God, for allowing me to be with your audience. I don't take it lightly at all. And I want to bless God for you and your life and your ministry. Praise God.
Oh, yes. I'm glad you came on tonight, because we had to want to have a conversation tonight because of something that has been in the streets of talk about what people don't believe in and what they believe in and how they move and how they groove. And when the young person came to me and said, hey, let's go to God first, I was blown away. And I have been very, very fortunate and blessed to be around so many young people of God. So tonight, if you want to join the conversation, all you got to do is press the number one, and I'll get that on in, and I'll let you come in and talk to the young minister. So minister, as we move forward, can you tell me the first time you knew that you were saved by God?
Wow, you know what, and I'm just going to be truthful with you on tonight because I know you want me to be real. I can't remember the exact day I was saved. The only thing that I could tell you is that I've been in church all my life. I think I was in church when I was inside of my mama. Really, that's what it felt like because I've been in church all of my life. It didn't occur to me that I needed to join church until when I was about 9 or 10, because I really didn't understand the full meaning of it. I was just a kid that was just going to church and listening to the word, so I didn't understand about joining the church, getting to know God for yourself. Really, I was just a kid that just enjoyed the music and just enjoyed the preaching, but not really understanding the full concept of it. You get what I'm saying? So I really can't put my finger on it when I was really, really, really first saved. Only thing I can tell you is that I've been serving them all of my life. That's really the only thing I could tell you first.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Because the thing about, like, for me when I was coming up, like, also, for me it was a little different because my background is a little more expansive because I didn't come from the church background. But when I went to church, it was the all who you went with and how things were. So when you were able to move on your own as a young person, when did you feel that you needed to start learning to study the word?
Wow. Well, that didn't really occur until like my teenage years. That didn't start happening as a young kid. That really didn't start occurring until like my teenage years. Like, okay, I had to really realize because I was really just focused on singing. I really didn't really understand anything about the word of God. Not really even understanding the fact that what you're singing about, some of the things that you're saying, is in scripture. I was just so into the music, I really didn't understand it. And so it took me to get a little bit older to say, okay, you're not a little baby anymore. It's time out for you just liking church for the music. You really need to get to know God for yourself. So then I tried it, and it didn't work out all the way because I had reading problems. And so I was struggling with it year after year after year, trying to figure the word out because I could easily get a song down pat, but I was trying to learn this word, and it just wasn't working, and it wasn't working. So finally, and this happened around when I was about 19 or 20. After all these years, finally it occurred to me. It's time for you to start preaching. You've been running away from it. And it was like, wait a minute, but I can't get the word down. I'm having reading problems. How am I going to figure this thing out? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, get yourself a reading tutor. I said, now, wait a minute, hold up, God. Is that enough? I can't walk. You want me to get a reading tutor? I already struggle with people worrying about me now walking. What you think they're going to say about this? And the Lord spoke to me right in there. I was in my kitchen table. I'm not lying to you. The Lord spoke to me and said, quit running your mouth. Quit talking. Just do what I told you to do. And I said, okay, God, yes, sir. I'm going to obey your will. Whatever you need for me to do to get your word out, that's what I'm going to do for you. And so I reached out to someone, got me a reading tutor, and I've been preaching since 2016, and the rest is history.
Amen, amen.
I hope that answers your question.
That answers the question. That's getting right into this. Getting right where I'm leading you to. Because the word says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. With that being said, you've been embedded by nothing but nothing but godly individuals, where you just had to just automatically be in your psyche and in your spirit. So when you came out where that it was like, I'm born again and God is my Lord and Savior, at your age, how important is it to have a relationship with God at your age of the millennial? Because most of you question everything. How did your questions become what we call concrete answers, that you knew that the Lord was your Savior, that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How did you come to realize that and believe in that at such a young age when everything is always tried? How did you get there?
And we're talking about the courses, right? We're talking about the courses that I was at. It's simple, exactly.
That's what I want you to break down right now.
Simple, because the way that he was answering them. Bottom line, the way that he was talking to me, I knew that he had my back. I knew that he was going to cover me. I knew that he was going to protect me, because the way that he was talking to me, he has a way of talking to you better than your mother can, better than your grandmother can, better than, you know, your best friend can. He's the only one that can talk to you in a really, really, really good way that only you can understand it. And so that's what was the breakdown point for me, the way he was answering me. That's how I began to understand that, wait a minute, I can fully trust this man. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. I can put my life into his hands, and he ain't going to go and tell nobody my business. He ain't going to go and tell nobody what I didn't discuss with him. I can trust him. Everything that he's spoken to me, I believed it.
That is awesome. And that's what it takes, a true belief system, a true belief system. We got still callers on the line tonight. Does anybody have something they want to bring to the table? Press the number one and I can tag you on in. You can join the conversation as we explore the mysteries of God on how the youth really are taking their relationship with our Lord and Savior very serious. It is a great thing to know who you are and whose you are. So with that being said, I do got one thing I would like from you, Minister Yarnell. And because you said it in your bio, I'm just so elated right now. I'm so happy to have you on the line that I wish that you would just for a moment, go in for me.
Well, my brothers and sisters, I want you to understand and I want you to know tonight, I don't care what you are facing in your life, what you are battling with. I don't even know what's going on in your mind right now. You might think that you are not meant to be in the world. You might think that there is no hope for you. You might think that you've been here several times before and it's just no coming back. I come to let you know, brothers and sisters, I don't care what the enemy has told you in your life. We are breaking down those old walls and building up new. You will be the curse breaker in your family. You are making new waves. God is coming in your path right now, and he's changing things. He's moving those old things out of the way. He's going to build your self-esteem issues up. He's going to take those suicidal thoughts away from you. I don't care what it is. You might be dealing with sickness in your body. I might be speaking to somebody on the night that is pregnant at a young age, and they might not know how they're going to raise their children by themselves. You might feel like you're alone, but I come to let you know that God is able. Somebody might be struggling trying to figure out, how am I going to make it to college, or how am I going to get through this last year of school? I come to let you know, my brothers and sisters, that he may not come when you want him to come, but God will show up on time. He is a miracle worker. He is a deliverer. He is a provider. He is the Jehovah Jireh. I don't care what the enemy has lied and told you. We come against every depression on tonight. We come against every bowed down head on tonight. We come against it in the name of Jesus. And I come to let you know, brothers and sisters, that I plead the blood of Jesus over your life, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I don't care what the enemy has lied to you and said. I speak into your life right now that you shall live and not die. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. God has made you a promise, and he shall keep it for you. He is the only one that I know that make promises and don't break them. God is still able to perform miracles. He's still the same God yesterday as today as he was yesterday. He's still able to bring you out. I don't care what it seems like right now. You may feel like you're in a battle right now. It may feel like you are in a storm right now. I don't know what the enemy is talking to you about. But I come to let you know, my brother and sister, that you shall live and not die. And this will be the best year, I decree and I declare over your life, that this will be the best year ever that you have ever had in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I come to let you know that you got to speak it out of your mouth. You got to walk by faith. You got to tell yourself that I am more than a conqueror. Through him that loved me, through Christ Jesus, I could do all things. Through Christ Jesus that strengthened me. I come to speak into your life. I'm talking to that woman on the night that don't think they can get rid of this addiction, that don't think they can get rid of a drug addiction, that don't think they can leave that boyfriend alone, that don't think they can leave that husband alone. I come and speak into your life on tonight in the name of Jesus that you shall live and not die, that God is able to bring you a lift up your head, all ye gates, and the King of glory shall come in. Somebody ought to talk back to me on tonight. I feel the anointing of God. I feel his presence. If you would, all over this air, just lift up your hands and give him glory. Just lift up your hands and give him praise right now. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what you're dealing with. Forget about all your problems. Forget about all your circumstances. First of all, stop telling God about your problems and start telling your problems about who your God is. Oh, my God, I feel the anointing right there. Glory to God. We give you praise. We give you honor. We worship your name, oh God. We believe you're going to turn it around for us. Oh, yeah. We believe you're going to do exactly what you said you're going to do, because if you're for us, you're more than the whole world against us. God, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you praise right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, oh God. We thank you for dying on that cross for us, oh God. We thank you for sharing your blood. You've already paid the price for us, oh God. You said that we are more than conquerors. You said that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And we believe it. We trust you. We believe your word. Woman, don't you give in. Don't you throw in that towel. Don't you dare let go. The best is still yet to come for you. Hold on. I know that sounds so cliche, but I've been there to where I wanted to throw in the towel. I've been there to where it felt like it was no hope for me. I asked myself time and time and time again, Lord, why did you put me in this chair? Why did you make me the way you made me? And he always told me, Yarnell, I'm with you. And so if he's with me, I know that he's able to be with you. Some of you might say, I don't have the degree to go to school. How many of you know that your gift will make room for you? I don't care what it is. I'm going to tell you something. I got licensed in the Baptist church. Ain't never been to Bible school in my life. But I'm preaching. I'm doing what God has called me to do. And I don't care what nobody else got to say about it. See, sometimes you got to be bold with the devil. You got to be bold with him. You have to tell him, I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I'm tired of dealing with your mess. I'm not walking in your corner no more. I've been dealing with you for too long, and you're not going to take control over my life, because it's too much that God wants me to walk into. And I got to walk into my destiny. I got to walk into my calling. I come to tell you, brothers and sisters, your calling may not be preaching on the night. Your calling may not be singing. Your calling may just be the best hairdresser you want to be, or the best makeup artist you want to be. Do what God has called you to do. Write that book. Stop making excuses. Time out. Time out. We have to do, my brothers and sisters, what God has called us to do. We are the next generation that is coming up, and we got to break down those old walls and build up new ones. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God.
Hallelujah. 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 He be going in. You talking about the youth? Come on. But I do want to recognize one thing, young minister. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I thank God for you. I thank God for you. Yes, because I just want y'all to know one thing. I'm going to take a quick break before we come on back. And if you got anything you want to come on in and join the conversation with, just press that number one and we'll be right back.
Highest mountain, looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley, looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea, couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, no, nobody greater than you. I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and mighty is your hand. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. You are he who carried out redemption's plan.
Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody great. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Searched all over.
Searched all over.
Couldn't find no.
Couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low. Still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody great. Body great.
Nobody.
Come on, lift those hands for real in here. Come on. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
Now lift those hands, singers, and let's just give him the glory. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Couldn't find nobody.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater than you.
I dare you lift your hand and say that with us tonight. Come on. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Party greater.
Nobody greater.
Party greater than you.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody like you, Jesus.
Hey, nobody greater, nobody greater, nobody greater than you, Lord. I'd like to thank everybody on the night for joining us as we explore the mysteries of God and how the millennial, the youth, the young, as they are growing into their walk of life, how they are walking with the Lord by their side and in their heart. I'd like to thank everyone. I wanted to unmute your phones if anybody had anything they'd like to say to the young minister, Yarnell, or any questions that you might have that we can bring out and have conversation about. Do it right now, if you will. Everybody don't have to be shy. Oh, we got quite a few listeners on here tonight. So with that being said, I'm just want to keep it moving and grooving. I just want to thank you, young minister, tonight for being such a great young man of God, for your zeal is fire. And I am just in awe of you. I'm just thanking you and for the great things that God has in store for you, because you already know what to do. You are no longer with the milk. You are eating steak and potatoes. So, minister, what do you have to say upon tonight?
Well, once again, I'm just blessed and so honored that you would choose me to be on your show tonight. You could have called up on anybody, but you chose little old me, and I'm just grateful for the opportunity. I want you to know, man of God, you keep talking about me, but I want you to know that God is not through with you yet either. You ain't seen nothing yet. God is getting ready to blow your mind with some things. You just keep on being the nice person that you are. Don't change for nobody. Don't switch up. Don't change for nobody. You continue to do what God has called you to do. And I want you to know that God got something great in store for you. And as he blessed you, he's going to continue to bless your family. And everybody that come in contact with you is going to be blessed through you, through your ministry. You keep on being the great mentor that you are to people. I bless God for your ministry. I bless God that he even called you to do this. So I just want
Amen.
To thank you. Yes, indeed. And I want to thank everybody for listening on tonight. I pray that I've said something to help somebody along the Christian journey.
I believe that you have. It's such a beautiful thing to see the youth, the young, have a zeal for God. You see, it sometimes it's about taking your own walk, stepping into that oneness with our Lord and Savior, and you did it at a very young age, and I'm very just proud of you. So if you will, take us home with a quick prayer that everybody can have that benediction as they start their day tomorrow.
Yes, indeed. Would you mind if I sing a little bit? I just feel a song.
Do what you please, young minister.
Yes, sir. You know my name. You know my name. You know my name. You know my name. And oh, how you walk with me. And oh, how you talk with me. And oh, how you tell me that I am your own. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you tonight as humble as we know how to come. We're thanking you for your love and kindness, your tender mercy, your outstretched hand. Father, you've been so good to us. You woke us up this morning. You have allowed us to see another day. God, you are just such an amazing God. Oh, God, we thank you. We spend so much time asking you for everything that we don't take time out to just tell you thank you. We don't take time out to just tell you we love you. We appreciate you. We adore you, Father God. I want to thank you on tonight for just being who you are, for being who you are in the earth. Oh, God, there is none like you in all the earth, oh, God. We just thank you right now, oh, God. I thank you for Minister Jason on tonight, oh, God. bless him, oh God. Touch him from the top of his head all the way down to the soles of his feet. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing in his body. I speak prosperity over his life, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Whatever you would have him to do, that his ministry would just blow up, that right before his eyes, that he would just be just amazed at just what you have done for him, oh God. I pray for his children on tonight, oh God. I pray for his wife on tonight, oh God. Thank you for her life in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God. I want to thank you, oh God, for everybody that is listening on tonight, oh God. I want to thank you, oh God, for using me as your anointed vessel, oh God. I praise your name, oh God, and I give you glory even now, oh God. I want to ask that you will look on this mean and evil world that we live in on tonight, oh God. Oh God, build us up, oh God. We are weak, oh God. Fix us, oh God. Make us new again, oh God. Make America great again, oh God. Only you could do it, oh God. Only you could do it. The president can't do it, oh God. The governor can't do it, oh God. The mayor can't do it. Only you could do it, oh God. You got all power in your hands, oh God. You got all power in your hands, oh God. We thank you for what you have done already, oh God. And we believe that it's already done by faith, oh God. You said that without faith it is impossible to please you, oh God. So we understand that we got to have that faith on tonight, oh God, to be able to please you, Lord. We want to make you happy. We want to be pleasing in your eyesight, oh God. We want to be right when we come before your presence, oh God. We want to smell good to you, Lord. We want to be right for you, oh God. We don't want to get to heaven, get up there, and then you say all of a sudden that I don't know you. Oh God, we want you to know us, oh God. We want to be more like you, Father God. We want to be better Christians on tonight, oh God. We want to be better soldiers in the army of the Lord, oh God. Clean us up, oh God. Create in us a clean heart, oh God, and renew within us the right spirit, oh God. Not the wrong spirit. We tired of the wrong spirit, oh God. We want the right spirit. Clean us up, oh God. Wash us over again, Lord. Only you can do it, Jesus. And we thank you for it right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, and it is so. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and thank God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's how you end it, nephew. You are truly a man of God, and I thank you on tonight. So as we leave this place, I want everybody to know one thing, that Jesus is Lord.
Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh. Son of man, Son of righteousness, King of the earth, for sinners slain. My heart, and I will sing. Yeah, come on. We worship you, King, Almighty God. Oh, come on, sing.
Son of man. spirit sings, holy, holy. In the splendor of your majesty, from deep within my spirit sings, holy, holy.
He's worth.